So in the meantime, I have Miss D Sanders with us today. Hello, beautiful.
Ooh.
How are you?
Am I supposed to say something?
Yeah.
I am fine. Glad to be off work, but yeah. I'm fine.
Me too. So today, our conversation is, in the meantime, co-parenting. And so I brought you on to talk about, you know, where you're coming from with co-parenting, because I am a single parent co-parenting. However, you are the significant other of a co-parenting relationship. So,
yeah.
Let's dig in there. So, oh. I think, you know, everybody has their thoughts on how co-parenting should go when it comes to the children. My biggest thing is I always say put the kids first, and communication, like really sitting down talking about how everybody wants to raise these kids, right?
Agree.
So how does that feel with you coming into this already family?
Honestly, it is challenging. It can be difficult, but it has its perks as well. So, I have two, I guess I can say two experiences or two separate relationships where I can kind of keen in on, because you're talking about someone that doesn't have biological children of her own, but I am to be a parental influence or some kind of influence in someone else's children's lives.
It is
challenging, and it has its perks, but it is it's not easy either.
Yeah, I definitely like how you use your parental influence.
Yeah, I mean, just to give, although I don't have children of my own, although I don't have biological children, I'm still an influence to children, if that makes sense. I have nieces and nephews. I have, I'm godmother to children. So my life around kids, I'm around kids. So communication is really big. Communication is so huge, and I like the fact that you actually said communication. It's not as often one where a new person that is coming into the picture, but as that new person coming into the picture, you want to make sure the communication between the two co-parents are also there as well, because you know you have situations where it's bad blood and, oh, we created a kid and I got to deal with you for the rest of my life situation scenario.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have, you know, where once upon a time I thought, you know, we were going to be forever. We ended up, you know, making this bundle of joy, but it just didn't work out. And there's a mutual agreement, and then we can just be friends and walk away from it, but make sure we raise the child scenario.
Yeah. And that is like my situation is, you know, I definitely thought this was going to be forever. I definitely never thought that we would be in the situation we are now, and to where we'd have to co-parent. And so conversations were already tough with trying to figure out how are we going to co-parent just with us growing up so differently. But now, you know, their dad is in a relationship, and now it's how are we going to co-parent with me and him and his girlfriend.
Right.
And I have, honest, you know, I haven't had that conversation, that sit down conversation with just all three of us. And I think that's what makes me so hesitant about, you know, my kids having relationships with her, because I haven't talked to her. And
right.
I'm always respectful in the sense of, you know, this is the person that your father is with. He has a relationship with this woman. You know, he lives with her. So at the end of the day, respect her always, because that's another woman, and I'm never going to talk too crazy about another woman, especially a woman I don't know.
Yeah.
And so with you coming in, I completely forgot about your other relationship. He had kids.
Oh, yes. Which was interesting because, I mean, here it is. Around that time I was early 20s.
Oh, yeah.
Mid 20s.
Early 20s.
And you're talking about someone with three kids. Well, in the beginning, I knew about the two. Then later in the relationship, found out about the third one. And, I mean, that, and of course, they're all three different mothers. So I'm dealing with three different adults and all that. So it was hard because for that past relationship, you know, the two children that we were involved in, for one, he signed over his like parental rights because he had him in like junior high. And then for the other, she was the middle child, and her, I mean, I don't care about talking about people, because at the end of the day, I'm going to treat you accordingly. Right. If I feel like you treat me like shit, then I mean, I don't have much for you. Yeah. I mean, respect. I didn't do anything to you. Whatever happened in your relationship is your relationship and your problem. But outside of the child, what are we going to do in reference to that? So it was very different because I'm dealing with three different females. One I never met, one I never saw. And then as far as for the other one that gave me more grief, it was just like, but why? And then later in the end, just come to find out that either you was or you wasn't over it, or you was just mad at the fact of how the relationship was going, and you wish if it was your relationship back then, you know, it would have gone the way it was going for us. So it was different, if that makes sense. It was just different. And then currently, for where I'm at now, sorry for the beeping, that's what happens when you have a high-tech vehicle. Sorry. But as far as for this current relationship, communication started out rocky because of the simple fact, you know, it again is someone else's kid, and you were this person that is coming in, don't know nothing, don't know my child. So how are you going to prove yourself, and how are you going to show that you can care for my child, because I'm seeing a person that doesn't have children and you are involving yourself in pretty much our family. So that, as a, for me, that weighs heavy, because although I'm around children, I never want another mother to think, or a mother in general to think, that I'm going to put your child in harm's way. That's not me. That's not my person. That's not who I am at heart.
Right.
Now, you know, whatever beef we may have, that's between adults. It has nothing to do with children. And sometimes when we're in relationships like that, unfortunately, some adults just don't know how to distinguish their feelings between their partner and the child. The child ended up being involved. The child ended up reaping, you know, the consequences. The child then suffers, which right. is not fair.
Because I think the kids, it's a little confusing. Like, you know, it's mommy and daddy and his girlfriend, or daddy and his wife, his significant other. And just where do they, whose side are they supposed to be on, you know? Because I even look, I think right. about, like, me and my parents, and when my dad started dating, it was just like, whoa, who is this? Am I supposed to talk to her? Like, why is she being nice to me? Is she being nice to me because she actually likes me? Is she being nice to me to make things better for her and my dad? And then I go home to my mom, who never got in another relationship, and it's just like, aw, you know, where do I stand as a child in all of this?
Yeah, and that is actually really important. I do think even if it's something that
I mean, I get boyfriend, girlfriend, and all that other stuff, but on a relationship base, you want to make sure that is something that is permanent. Although I don't have children, I just don't believe in getting into relationships that's not really going to last, waste my time. And if I have a child, it will waste my child's time. I don't want my child to be involved with someone that's not really going to stick around. But I like the fact that you said, you know, with your dad dating another woman, why she's being nice to you, is she being nice to you? Because it's so many different aspects you can look at this. You know, they're being nice to the child just to get in good grace with the person that they're with, or you know, or are you actually being nice because you care and you want to be here for me, you want to be that influence for me, and all that other stuff. Hopefully, in relationships, people that do have children, and they have a significant other, or they end up having someone involved in their lives, that they distinguish that. But it does take sitting at the table, even when it comes to disciplinary actions. Like even now, I mean, 5 years in a relationship, I don't discipline. That's not my place. I'm not going to make it my place. But when there's room for correction, then there will be correction.
So what? I have a whole bunch of questions. You opened up a whole nother thing. So why, 5 years in, have you not disciplined? And then when you say discipline, you mean like spankings, right? Or
Yes,
punishments?
spankings or right or well, mainly spankings for our background, mainly spankings, yes. But
So why haven't you though?
yes.
Is it like, because I think for, you know, my oldest, I was like, oh no, I don't believe in spankings. You should be able to talk and communicate. And then for my youngest, I was like, oh no. There's no, like, not to say that there's no talking, but obviously talking does not work, is not effective all the time. And
Right.
when they go visit their dad and his significant others, I'm like, oh no, she better not put her hands on my children. But if that is somebody that he has deemed safe, and with you know, he has deemed you a safe person to be with his child, why on the opposite end of the spectrum do you choose not to discipline?
Personally, me, although I'm permitted, and I say permitted because this is a conversation that we had to have, in reference to discipline her. Personally, me, I'm not comfortable. And part of it is because of the simple fact that I know blood-wise she's not mine, and it could be taken the wrong way by other people. Not
Yeah,
to
the
say that
outside
it should
looking
matter or
in.
not, because that's between he and I.
Right.
But secondly, personally, I feel like just my personal background, my childhood, and with my own mother and her way of discipline came from aggression. And
Oh,
I feel even till
yes.
this day, again, as a person with no children, I deal with that. I have to deal with that. I have to face that, because if one day I do have children of my own, I don't want my disciplinary actions to be from a place of aggression or from a
Yeah.
place of frustration or from a place of lack of patience. I want
Right.
it to be from a place of care and love and understand why you are being disciplined, not because I just feel like it, or not because I'm upset and this
Frustrated
is,
and
you know, the heat of
irritated
the
and
moment.
annoyed and everything else.
Right. So it's not, I, it doesn't, it's not comfortable with me, although she know I can, and although it has been used as a threat, but I will not lay my hands on her. I will
Right.
not go get a belt for her to act straight or anything like that.
Right.
Words for right now, for her age, works perfectly.
And
She right now can't comprehend that.
I think as they get older, they definitely don't need spankings. I'm not pro spankings, because I learned that I was disciplining out of frustration. And so when it came to punishments, when I say discipline, I refer to punishments. So when, let's say, oh, I say don't touch that, and they touch it, then I'm frustrated and I'm angry, and then that's when I go into, I told you not to do that. And it's like, no, these are children. They've never been here before. So I have to learn to communicate effectively with them so they understand just the severity of why I'm telling them not to do it. And I think we as parents and as adults, we forget that children need to understand why you are saying no.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is very true. And then kids these days, especially her age, being six, just taking an iPad or saying you're not going to have any candy, or telling you just simply clean your room.
Girl, that breaks it down.
I mean, that's like punishment enough, because, you know, you're easily bored. Like, oh my goodness, I cannot. But it is one of those things for her. It is like, if it in fact is needed, it will be that. But just for a first react, no. In my household, it was kind of like that. That was the first reaction.
Right, the knee-jerk reaction. You do something, you get hit. That's it.
Right. Or if I had to repeat myself, you know, you get hit. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn it. Like, she's six and she doesn't understand that she has taught me so much. Been involved in her life every day, because before I wasn't involved in her life every day. Of course, she knew me, I knew her. We spend our time, but I wasn't in her life every day. So being here full time now, she has taught me so much. And one of them things is patience. Like, it is patience, because you have to constantly repeat yourself. Yes. You have to constantly monitor. You have to constantly make sure, even after repeating yourself, she understands. You have to constantly, like, it is a nonstop round the clock. And I mean, I struggle with it, but I work on it. I'm someone that is progressing. I'm constantly improving. Every day I'm learning. So it's never a moment where I'm like, you know, we are so close-knit to where I'm like, yeah, I'm your mother. No, you have a mother. You do. You have a mother, and I'm not here to take that from you. I'm not here to fill those shoes. I am here to be another influence. And that is it. And this is going to open up so much with this, especially with co-parenting. You don't have to call me mom. You're not obligated to. I'm not looking for that. I'm perfectly fine by my name. You know, we say we love each other. I do love her. She does love me. You know, and that is great. The only thing that I will say with not being her mom and being here full time and, you know, constantly being involved in her life is, you know, that day that may come, may not come, because we're pretty good, but that day that'll come where you're not my mother, you can't tell me what to do.
Girl, that's I was adopted.
right. That's like the day, I don't know, like in my head of before, that would be a day that I'm looking forward to, because she may dislike me saying something or telling her no, you know, especially when you're getting them teenage ages and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Teenage years, I meant. And all that stuff, and she probably want to hang out with friends, or she probably want to go to somebody's house, or she probably want to have a party or go to a party and stuff like that. And it's just like, you know what? No. Well, you ain't my mama. You can't tell me what to do. You know?
Right.
So,
right.
So even at, you know, so it's like, it doesn't bother me, because we all been kids before, even with our own parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, I wish you wasn't my parents type thing, because we're upset.
Right.
So it's almost like I had to learn. I can't follow no child up, you know, it. I can't. And before I'm trying to tell you, I would, and it would hurt my feelings, because it's like, you know, not necessarily to be in good grace with her father, but it's just like, I do want to bond with you, and I want us to have that relationship, and I want us to have that connection, all that other stuff. And it actually would hurt me if you were to say something like that. But, however, I've been around you enough to know when you're saying something out of anger, and when you're saying something, you know, because your feelings are hurt.
Right.
And I you think just want to be consulted in all that.
I think all of that really comes with truly building a relationship with the child. Like, that's what's really important. And honestly, me on the other end, that's what I really want, is for, you know, their dad's significant other to really build a relationship with them, figure out who these kids are, like, really, because that's what I want. I think whenever I start dating, if the person I date has a child, it would be important for me to build a relationship with them. So I definitely have to give that same grace and expectation to, you know, my ex and his significant other.
Yeah, but at the same time, although you may want that, it is his significant other that has to understand, outside of her child, that she has to put into work for his other children as well. Right. So, it's just honestly, you know, no child is greater than the other, because they're all children. None of them asked to be here. They all have to be cared for one way or the other. That outcome is still the same. They all have to be cared for, raised, monitored, disciplined, everything, structure, consistency, all that. I mean, you're going to have to put in work, all that, not just for one, because you have one that's in your household and another one that's across country.
Mm-hmm.
Put in the effort. You're going to have to put in that effort if you really is, you know, planning on being around for the long haul. Put in that work. Period.
Right. That's so one thing I had said earlier, and I apologize, the roads are getting a little louder. But one thing I said earlier is that what's really important is having the conversation with the adults on having the core values there. Like, at the end of the day, we may not agree on how to accomplish these things, but our main objective is to accomplish this.
Right.
So what would you say are some, like, definite core values? Of being a co-parent.
That's a good question. Core values. Oh. Core values on raising a child?
Yes. Of how you guys decide to raise a child together with just you two, and then with you being the outside parent.
I think for me, I can't get away from communication. I mean, that has to be the core. I can't get away from communication. At any given moment, communication, involvement, consistency, I mean, structure and order, I just feel all that is core values, especially being the person with no children coming into a family, coming into this family. It is important. Anytime I communicate with her outside of her dad, I'm like, okay, look, this is what I told her. This is, you know, this is the conversation we had. If in fact, you know, she said something out of line and I had to correct it, I'm like, hey, this is what she said. This is not for her to be in trouble, but to bring to your attention so we all can be on one accord, because that's really important, to be on one accord, because kids can pick up when they feel that they need to use which person that they can use.
Oh, yes.
And in which situation, especially if they witness and see the adults crashing, mm-hmm. you know, well then, and all that other stuff. So kids can pick up on that, and they will use it. They will attempt to use it. Involvement, like I am there. I am that cheerleader in the corner. I am that supporter. I am that. Yes, you can do it. Go for it. Try it. I am that. I am involved. Consistency. You know, now that I'm, you know, we're under one roof and full time, I mean, I have to have some consistency about myself. When I say something, when something needs to be done, you know, her being fed, you know, homework, giving her that attention, playing a game, or just listening to her, asking how her day is, having that conversation just so we can have our moment. I would say those are like core. Those are like core values.
And I guess for this household. Your core values for raising a child. Like, what are your expectations for raising this child? Like, okay, so for me, it is, I want my children to live the fruits of the Spirit. And that's how I feel like everything really, if you have love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, and you have those things, and those are the qualities, the core qualities that I want to input in my children and that I want to bring out of them. So what are some of those for you?
Look, I ain't even gonna lie. I'm learning these core values every day. I'm not saying that from a place of like carelessness. I'm saying that from a place of no expectation, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Because I mean, every day is something different. Every day I face a different challenge, or what I may seem as a challenge. Because of this effect, it's so many different adults involved, and I know me personally. Some things I want done how I want it done, the way I want it done, right. versus, you know, taking that time to include other people and to have a say-so. That pisses me off, because I'm like, you know, if I hear something that I don't want to hear, it's going to piss me off and cause me to have an attitude. But then, you know, it's almost like, you know, a self
reflection,
self-check. Yeah, it's like a self-check. Hey, it's not about you, for one. It ain't ever going to be about you. One, get yourself together. Like, get your shit in order type thing. So, I mean, it's just, I agree with you in reference of fruit of the Spirit. And honestly, I don't want to put myself at an expectation, because it is all new to me. Although 5 years in, and really, 5 years into relationship, but we've been living under the same roof, or I've been full-time, I should say, under the same roof for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I still feel like I'm in that new phase for me.
Yeah.
Two years in, I'm still in that new phase, because, you know, some days I'm like, okay, where do I belong here? You know, like, where's my placing? You know, how should I still be with her? How should I react? Because I'm still finding myself, you know, having to self-check myself and not make it a big deal, because at the end of the day, she's just six. It's not that serious, dude. You know? So, I do... The only thing that I wish and that I'm hoping for out of this is that when she get older, she look back and just appreciate, you know, just thank you. That is honestly good enough. And I'm not asking, you know, I'm not here to ask for that thank you or to ask for that appreciation, because regardless, she is my responsibility. I'm responsible. Mm-hmm. But what I instill in her and what I practice with her, she shows me that she's listening to me. You know, she shows me that she cares to hear what I have to say. She shows me that, and that is good enough for me. That is good enough for me. Like this morning on the way to school, I mean, I take her to school, even before knowing that I drive her to school, she's like, D, are you driving me to school this morning? Because I had to go through training when my schedule had changed and I had to work 8 to 4, so I couldn't drive her to school. Mm-hmm. We didn't have our morning drives anymore. So just the fact that she asks that as if she wants me to be the one to take her is good enough. Like, that is like the child saying, I want you. You know, I'm accepting you in my life.
Doesn't that make you just feel so good and all warm and fuzzy inside?
Right. and that is fine, because she doesn't have to have her dad to be like, you know, you're going to respect this person because she's in my life. Like, you don't have to force that upon her. The child is telling you, letting you know, I want you here.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're here. That's what I'm looking forward to hearing from my kids. Like, I want them to know that, okay, it didn't work out with me and your dad, but at the end of the day, your dad is with somebody who brings him peace and love and is going to instill those things in you as well. And who doesn't want to go home and be happy and be peaceful and be kind, yeah, and feel loved? And it's something that I really want for my kids. So when they say they go home and they're talking about going with their dad, then I want to know that they are truly feeling the love and they want to see his significant other.
Most definitely.
A lot of times I say, you know, people have issues with the significant others because of their insecurities and their issues that they deal with personally. And I always say, I want to know that my ex is with somebody that's better than me, because then I know my kids are going to be great. Like, I'm amazing already. So you found somebody that's better than me? Oh, these kids are going to be amazing.
I cannot.
I'm just saying, we're raising the future. Like, we're raising young adults. We're raising little people that are going to turn into older people that are going to go and be responsible for something and somebody one day.
Yeah.
And it's a huge role, and it's a huge responsibility. There we go. And I just would love to see everybody involved really realize how big this is. And how we don't have to make it so complicated. Yes, it gets a little touchy sometimes. Yes, it gets a little sensitive sometimes. Because we all have our expectations of how we want to raise our kids.
Yes.
And coming together with two people is difficult. Now you're talking about coming together with three or four people?
Yes.
That is a lot. I don't know if you saw the, there was a post that was going around where this guy took a family picture with his ex and their children, and he was, I don't remember if it said he was in a relationship or he was married, but he was in a relationship and his girlfriend or wife was not in the picture. And so of course it was a big issue, like, no, she should have been in the picture. What do you think about that? As in, because you'd be the girlfriend. Do you want to be in those family pictures? Do you think it's appropriate, inappropriate?
I think that would definitely be a topic to, I'll give you an example. So, we went to a school event. Not current relationship, past relationship. We went to a school event. I think it was like an awards ceremony or something. So I definitely was there. I was there. Grandmother was there. Mother was there. Other family member was there. Brother was there, and everybody. So when it came to taking pictures, I, by choice, was like, okay, this is a family picture. This is a family thing. I'm going to let you guys do your thing. So the mother actually was like, you're here, get in the picture, take your picture with her and all the other stuff. So it was almost like, for me, it was like, okay, I didn't want to impose, I wanted to be welcomed, if that makes sense.
Yes.
just because I'm there, I'm not trying to steal the thunder, the light, or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't want to impose, because this is technically your moment, but welcome me in. And that's what happened. I was welcome in versus just be like, well, I'm with him, and I don't care what you have to say about it. I'm just going to take a picture with y'all. No.
Right.
Because what does she want? What does she want to hang that up in her house? She don't want to see your face in the background.
And I mean, you know, I'm a little different, because I feel like, you know, if, and I'm going to say spouse, marriage, you know, or anything longer than a year. If you have made yourself known to be a significant, stable person in this family, then you're in this family, because when my kids are over there, you're helping them with homework, right? You're feeding them, yeah. Right? So you deserve to be at the award ceremony too. You put in, you helped, and you deserve to be in those pictures.
But not everybody see it that way. Everybody see it as in deserving because of what you're doing. It's just a mere fact. You're the other person, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Can we change that narrative? Like, how do we fix that? And because, again, it doesn't have to be so difficult. It doesn't have to be so messy. Because at the end of the day, you're helping with homework too. You're feeding my child too. And if we're that's a family, right? You're bonding with my kids. You're learning about them. You're building relationships with them. There may be some things that they tell you that they won't tell me. Now, I do expect that as a woman and a co-parent that you do talk to me about it and let me know. But at the same time, I do know that kids feel more comfortable saying certain things not to their mom, not to their dad.
True. Yeah.
But, you know, so if we're doing that, and you, and again, I put all of this on the man because he is the head, and this everything, I'm not going to say everything flows through him and how he deals with things, but as a man in the relationship, he has to set the borders and the line boundaries of how both relationships are going to go. And so if we're on the same page and your significant other has said, hey, this is who I'm bringing into our family, then I have to respect that as a woman and respect you as a woman. And if we're going to the games, of course my kids are going to say, hey, there's a game, I want both of you guys there.
Right.
And there shouldn't be any issues.
Right.
We all celebrate together. And that, like, that's some of the beautiful things that I see with healthy relationships. And I guess that's a great way of seeing toxic relationships. Because when you're in toxic relationships, that's when nobody can get together without it being messy and without it being some type of issue. And it doesn't have to be like that. We don't have to live in that world. And I would love to help change the narrative.
I agree. But that's a challenge. And the only reason why I say that's a challenge is because, especially even like in the beginning, if it was a split and it was a messy split, it's going to be kind of hard for people to just be like, okay, we're going to accept this, come together, and work together at it, and then let bygones be bygones. Not everybody is. A lot of people is not capable of doing that, and especially depending on how some relationships may have ended. You know, well, he cheated on me, and she's the person, you know, she's the mistress and all this other stuff.
It can be a lot of stuff.
It can get crazy.
But I feel
it can get crazy.
I feel like we are in the 21st century. This is 2019. When are we going to woman up, man up, own our own part in the issue? Because for me and my ex, he messed up, I messed up. I did some things that I should not have done. I said some things I should not have said. But we all should learn to take our role and our responsibility in the downfall of the relationship, so that we can start teaching our children and people around us how to have non-toxic relationships.
Functional, not dysfunctional. Functional.
Yes.
And I like what you said. You know, it takes two. It's not one without the other.
Right.
We just have too many people that is placing blame and placing fault, but you're forgetting to understand where you fell in to play with it. You know, your role, how you participated. People is forgetting to do that, but they just want to blame. And it's just so many different scenarios for that question. Not even necessarily a question, but for that change. Because, yes, I see it the same way you see it. When are we going to just be like, okay, you know what? It's fine to walk away. We have a mutual agreement that it just didn't work for us. And if you come across someone that can put up with you or put up with me, I'm happy for you. Congratulations. Let bygones be bygones. But as far as for the child, you know, let's raise the child the best way we can together. So it is very interesting on both hands, because I can understand a lot of factors playing into it in reference to the relationship. But so many people is so stuck on the relationship and why it ended or why it failed, and you forget to notice that, hey, we still have a kid that's watching us. We still have a kid that we have to care for. We still have that, though. You may not have to deal with me, but deal with me, you know, enough to be there or communicate, have a better communication for the sake of the child.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It does. So, if you were to have two rules on making the change, what would you say would be the two definite hard rules?
And this is making a change about co-parenting?
Yes.
Ooh. Two rules. One rule would be, honestly, you know the saying, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Ooh. Yes.
I would definitely say it starts with self. It honestly still starts with self, because a lot of people, we all react, whether it's positive reaction or negative reaction, we all react. But if you honestly really don't take the time to deal with yourself and put yourself in check and get out of your feelings so you can see a bigger picture, because it's not about you, that would be my number one rule. Number one, self-check yourself before you wreck yourself. Number two, I would say, let me see. Number two, I will still go back to communication. Because I feel like for people or us as humans, sometimes when we either want vent, but we just talk just to talk, whether someone is or is not listening, it's still, in a sense, a form of communication. It's still, in a sense, a form of being able to get what you're saying in your head allow to be heard. Sometimes when the things that you have processing in your head or saying in your head, when you're saying it to yourself, it doesn't make sense until you say it vocally. Communication, whatever form, fashion that is, communicate it, whether it's in writing, whether it is, you know, sit down at the table verbally, whether it is, you know, meditating. I mean, communicate, because of the simple fact is we're involving little beings that we're responsible for that's not asking for it. You know, they're not asking for the heartache. They're not asking for the split. They're not asking for the in-between. They're not asking for the drama. They're not asking for that. The adults need to handle that. And that starts with communicating. in whatever fashion. And I'm not talking about aggressively. I'm not talking about the, oh, this, because you hear some baby mamas, oh, it's no good dude, you're no good father. A kid don't need to hear that. No. I mean, he could be doing everything that he is allowed to do. And I say allowed because there are some that won't allow. He's doing everything that he's allowed to do, or she is doing everything that she is allowed to do. And because of the simple fact the way it ended, it's almost like you've been X, you've been targeted for BS. Communication. Communication, communication, and I'm talking about put on your big girl panties, put on your big boy drawers, communicate. Communicate, because it is important. It is important to have structure across the board. It is important for everyone to be on one accord. It is important. No, everything is not going to be peaches and cream, and it's not always going to be smooth. You will bump heads, and now I'm not saying that as a possibility. No, you will bump heads, you will clash, you will not agree. But it doesn't mean that you can't communicate.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
It doesn't mean that you can't talk. Even if you have to go and be like, you know what, I need to get myself together. We're going to revisit this conversation because I feel myself, you know, I feel my blood pressure starting to rise. We're going to take a pause and come back. I mean, just know yourself well enough to be able to say that. Be in tune with yourself and with your emotions or your reactions to certain things. Know you enough to be able to say that, though. Not everybody can. Not everybody do. Not everybody will, because we're too busy pointing fingers at our hurt. I'm trying to blame my hurt on you, and this is why I'm reacting this way, because you hurt me. Versus just saying, I'm hurt, but I can accept the fact that it just didn't work. We can move on.
Yes. And that's so, so vital. Like, you hit the nail on the head. Like, I'm hurt. And then we move on from here.
Yeah. Like,
acknowledge that I am hurt. You don't have to validate me, but don't disregard my feelings in the matter. And then
right.
We have to move on. We have to. And what's crazy to me is that I'm using the male, right? So mm-hmm. The male has a relationship, well, had a relationship with one woman, which means he knew her well enough to know when her feelings are hurt, and then is in a relationship with another woman where, again, he knows her well enough to know when her feelings is hurt, and you're dealing with two hurt women, and, you know, we can be a lot, especially when we're hurt. And then and then trying to get them to leave their feelings at the door to come in and co-parent. Oh my gosh. And then it's almost like if you could have put your feelings at the door in the first place, maybe this relationship would have worked out a little better. But yes, you're so dead on. I feel like communication is huge. It really is huge.
It truly is. I mean, there's honestly no way around it without everything still going back to the fact that you have to communicate. Yeah, you're dealing with whether you have kids of your own and you end up getting a relationship with a man or a woman that have children as well, and you guys come together and your parents. It's important. It's important. It's important. Mm-hmm. Because you, regardless, that other person, the mother or the father, is going to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
If they are here to be involved, they are going to be involved. And, you know, you have to have that line of communication. You have to have that line of communication. And just because you're there, or just because you're that significant other, doesn't mean that you're better than the mother. No, that is her child. That is the man's child. That is their child.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's some things you're not going to have a say so on. There's just some things you may not have a say so on.
Yeah.
Be fine with that.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't think it should be a competition. I know that.
It ends up being one sometimes.
That's what I was going to say. I know that sometimes happens, but it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't. Sometimes you're in competition and don't even know it. You don't even realize it, to be honest.
Of my life.
Yeah, you can be in competition and truly don't even know it. And it just really takes that time going back again just to really sit back and, you know, sometimes it takes you having to put yourself in check to be like, okay, you get a little beyond yourself. You get a little beyond yourself. Chill out. It's all right. Chill out.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I feel like this is great.
Yeah, I'm glad.
I really hope that it recorded well.
So do I. Because it was good conversation one way or the other.
Yeah.
So do I.
I guess I should have started with, like, some background on who you are.
No, thank you.
Yes.
Unless you want to say who I am to you.
Yes, who you are to me. And your personal life, because you're amazing. You're an amazing woman. Okay, so background on Miss D. It's my best friend of how long? Oh, my gosh.
Man, is it about 10? Alice is... Is
She's
it 8
12,
years?
So, yeah, about 8 years.
Yeah, she was 3 or 4. Yep, 8 years. Like, and we started as roommates, and it was like, she saved me though, like, forever.
Like,
I'm forever grateful because you saved me. I'm not even gonna lie. If it wasn't for you welcoming and you know, doing that whole roommate, somebody you didn't even know, you just knew I needed somewhere to stay because I was headed back to North Carolina. And I did not want to go.
Let me just say, I'm so glad you're not a serial killer, because I realized the setup for that was horrible. Like, I don't know, you come live with me and my child.
Right?
My child and my ex-husband. Like, that was just a horrible setup altogether.
But it didn't go like that. You know, we're all living. I was a good person. I am a good person.
You're amazing. And let me say,
we are best friends.
You were truly amazing. And it's funny that you say I saved you, because I feel like you truly did save me. It was such a... Like, that whole situation was a lot. And I do not know how I would have made it without you. Like, I have no idea how I would have made it without you. You are amazing.
It was almost like it was the perfect setup because, we were originally complete strangers. And just like, come live with me. And I'm like, whoa.
Yes,
I'll go anywhere but to North Carolina. Yes, I'll take it. I ask no questions. Sign me up. You know, like military, but Uncle Sam. You know, give me my bonus. I'm coming.
If I even asked him if you could move in, I don't even know. But we met. Okay, so we met at work. We were both working at the PX. Yeah, back in the day. And we didn't even work in the same section, so
no.
How?
I think it was Tabitha.
Yes,
because I was in soft lines and you was under common,
mm-hmm.
and Tabitha originally was trying to get me to live with her niece.
Yeah.
And me and her niece, personality wise, wasn't going to miss, because I'm like, you know, I'm not really party person, no thank you, no to alcohol, say no to drugs, dare type thing.
Stranger danger, okay.
Right, but yes to stranger danger. because that was, she really was trying to have me. And then I was like, okay, well, you know, does she pay her bills, you know, how is she responsible wise, because I'm like, I don't have the time to be homeless behind somebody that want to spend their money on a bottle of Hennessy and some nails getting done and their hair getting done, and they don't want to pay their rent, and I got to make up their half of the portion. Nah, I can't do that. So after I told her no, and then I was just like, I told her I was like, I'm going to have to quit. I said, because I'm going to have to go back to North Carolina. And she was like, no, don't quit yet. Don't quit yet. And so, yeah, you knew my story. And you was like, yeah, I'm looking for somebody. And we've been rocking it since then. Yeah. Stranger danger. We're rocking it. And the funny thing is, though, we're literally like yin yang yang. We are two
opposites.
We tell each other to this day, I don't know how or why we're friends, because I probably would never be a friend with a person like you.
I know.
It just works. It works.
It does.
It works. We have that friendship where we can truly be our authentic selves. And I think that's one thing I can say that I appreciate about you mostly in our friendship, our sisterhood, our family. Is we can be our authentic selves. We can be honest. You know, we can be sitting on the toilet having a conversation and it doesn't bother us. that's how close we are. Yeah. We're that close. You know, across the world. You know, and it's just crazy. You know, the care for Alex and all the other stuff before there was Jaden, and It was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy. Alice was amazing. She is amazing. Even at four, her personality was she was full of it. Full of it.
But thank you so much. I love you. Down to the last 3 minutes. I didn't know there was a maximum here.
Woohoo! Well, you made it.
Yes, I did. All because of you again. I made it because of you. I love you so much. Thank you for joining
in. I love you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Any questions, make sure to hit me up, okay? You guys have a great
evening.
Yeah,
have me back on anytime.
Yay! Thank you. I sure will.
Good night.